Hey there, Ruby fans! Welcome to another episode of the Ruby After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Volume 4, Episode 7, Punishment, as well as the World of Remnant. And we have a special treat for you. We have a guest calling in. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
How's everybody feeling?
Yeah, pretty good. How do you feel bad listening to this music? Like, instant upper, right?
You're pumped up right away.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm like, with the flashing lights and everything, I almost feel like we're ready for, like, our New Year's party.
Never.
Never? Ruby New Year? That sounds all right.
Yeah.
Well, hello there, Ruby fans. Welcome to another episode of the Ruby After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about the World of Remnant, the Schnee Dust Company, as well as Volume 4, Episode 7, Punishment. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Mark Donica.
Hi, everybody. I'm the Internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Make sure to use the hashtag RubyABTV to ask your questions of our guest, which we will get to in a moment. To my left is the one and only wonderful Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hi, guys. I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles, and I'm up to all kinds of fun stuff there, mostly crying about Ruby or Yuri.
Right next to me is the fantastic Patrick Dees.
I don't know about that, but I will take it. Hello, you can find me on Twitter at P to the Dees and just tweeting me about Papa Schnee. That's all I want to talk about. Let's do this.
Sounds good. And I'm going to make it. Oh, whoa. There we go.
Took it seriously. We are doing this.
I am down. And I am your host, Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. We are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag, not only on the hashtag, as Mark pointed out, but also on the live chat. Guys, joining us at some point. Is the fantastic Josh Greeley, who does the voice of Tyrion.
Yes.
So be sure to tweet us and use the live chat to send in your questions.
And Twitter.
Yeah.
Yes, it moves really fast, so if you ask the questions on Twitter, we'll be able to see them a lot clearer.
Yeah, the hashtag moves a lot slower than the live chat. The live chat's just like boom, 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 gone. Anywho, guys, how are you all? How was your holiday?
I learned a lot about Jock Schnee.
Yeah.
Personally.
We learned a lot about the Dust Company.
There's a lot. I finally got a computer strong enough to play Grim Eclipse, so I'm pretty stoked to play it a bunch.
Did you really?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, way to bury the lead here, Mark. I feel like, give us a 30-second review. How's it been?
I mean, I got to play it a little bit more substantially than I have been, which is at about 40 minutes at a time.
Sure.
But yeah, it's much more fun in a group than it is solo.
Okay.
That makes sense. We should schedule
a
live stream. That would be so
absolutely
much fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. I think you guys made a good point. We learned a lot about the Schnee Dust Company.
Well, yes, we did.
Specifically about Papa Schnee in particular. Mm-hmm. Schnee's not even his last name.
No, his last name is Gillet, which is means frozen.
Yep. Jack Frost. Basically.
What an ass.
I'm just talking about Nicholas Schnee. Does anybody think that was meant to be like Father Christmas, like Saint Nicholas?
It felt a little bit, right?
It did come off that way.
Yeah, traveling
the red scarf.
Yeah,
yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being a pretty benevolent guy with his company and everything.
Bit of a commando.
I like those iterations of Santa Claus where he's just like a total badass.
Yes,
like Red Sleigh Down, the episode of South Park. it was pretty badass.
That was a great one.
I wonder now that we know that Jacques married into the family.
Yeah.
I wonder who's Mama Schnee. Like we've seen references to her, in this World of Remnant.
Whoever she is, she's drunk in the
garden. I was going to say, like, we know where she is.
Well, and what happened to make her that way? Like, what brought that on?
I think now I think people are going to be Rooster Teeth is fulfilling all of Tumblr's wildest dreams, and Mama Schnee is the Ice Queen. Or is the Snow Queen?
I always assumed that Winter was the Snow Queen, but yeah, maybe it's Mama Schnee. She's just heart of ice, and she just gets drunk in the garden to go cope with that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a warmer blood.
Yeah.
That's why I'm always drunk in the garden. It's a blood warming thing, I promise.
Speaking of being drunk, we have a caller on the line.
Uh-oh.
Hey, is that you, Josh?
What? It is.
Some random dials in.
Glad to hear it. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fantastic. How are you guys?
So far, so good. Really excited to talk about this episode.
I know. Me too. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
So, Josh, you voice Tyrion. How does it feel coming into the Rooster Teeth community?
Pretty freaking incredible. The fandom has been nothing short of amazing since he was first revealed. I think I got my first piece of fan art about 3 days after episode one.
Nice.
When they first showed him when meeting Salem. And around that same time, someone sent me a video of them having already made like a perfect Tyrion cosplay.
They're insane.
Yeah. Awesome.
Like, it's like the fandom is insanely cool, and that's been fantastic. And also, it's really cool from a nostalgic standpoint because, like, I remember most of my high school was, if it wasn't Homestar Runner, I was watching Red versus Blue.
Yeah.
So to be a part now of Rooster Teeth is kind of crazy to me.
It's kind of cool.
Yummy.
Well, not to mention that the character that you play, because you played villains in the past, but this villain in particular, mm-hmm. kind of a little bit of a different brand, because he's like sort of middle tier in terms of he's a henchman, mm-hmm. but he's also super scary. How did they approach you about this role?
There was auditions sent out. I actually just got it through my agent, which was kind of weird. And sent the auditions in, didn't hear anything back for a little bit. And then I went in, and I didn't know who I was playing until I stepped into the booth. And I got the rundown for him. And they just said, you know, what we're looking for was pretty much what I did in the audition. They wanted him to just be psychotic incarnate. Everything about him was just that he wants to see the world burn, essentially, and that's pretty much all he's there for. He loves mayhem, he loves carnage, and working for Salem gives him that. And they wanted there to constantly be this feeling that he's always either on the edge of either laughing maniacally in joy or breaking down in anger or in tears, and just a complete psycho. And so I just kind of approached him from the get-go as being really kind of slimy and kind of just really excited about whatever orders his beloved goddess is going to give him. Who'd like to kill today? Please let it be someone. Please let me kill him. And that's pretty much all it did.
Like,
I recorded all of his lines for this season in, I think it was just a 2-hour session, 2 or 3 hour
wow.
session.
Wow.
And we came back a few weeks later to do just a bunch of fight reacts, and which most of which were all used in Ep 6 and 7.
Sure. Dude, yeah. Your fight reacts flipping in, like, you feel every single hit to your gun or to whatever. Kudos.
Yeah. That was actually, that recording session to date is the toughest recording session I've ever had on my voice. It was only an hour long, but I did not stop screaming for the whole hour.
Especially as that throaty scream, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I immediately went and got a giant bowl of ramen afterwards and didn't talk for 2 days straight.
Fair
afterwards.
Enough.
Like a nice pork cutlet bowl. One of our... we'll get to that later. Our fans want to ask a couple questions about that, too. But speaking of our chat, okay. A lip owner in chat asks, did you ever get lightheaded from all of the hyperventilating or laughing that you did in the booth?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, several times, and it made the giggling easier because I was just out of my mind at that point.
You are deeply unsettled at that point.
It's just oxygen deprivation.
Well, so the laugh, first of all, that is a special treat that we got that right now. For me, I think this season, the laugh has kind of become an iconic part of the season. I kind of can't wait every time Tyrion's on screen to hear the laugh. Where did that come from? Was that something that you generated, or was it part of the sides, or like where did that originate from?
Well, where did the laugh come from?
Yes.
I've I've been doing that laugh since I started voice acting, or even like before I started voice acting. It was something that when I was actually thinking about getting into voice work, I wanted to play villains. I wanted to be able to play something psychotic and fun, just larger than life type sure. villain. And Mark Hamill's Joker was always a big inspiration to me. So I tried to, and he has so many different laughs that he uses. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to try and figure out a way to emulate all of it, to incorporate that, the subtle nuances that he puts into all of his different laughs, depending on the situation or depending on Joker's mood, and try to figure out what my version of that would be. And I've just kind of had that in my back pocket for the last 12 years, and only on just very, very, very few times have I ever actually gotten to use it, because I don't get to play characters like Tyrion very often. And so when they said, we just want a crazy, the biggest maniacal laugh that you can give us, the look on my face in the booth was, it is time. My time has come. And I just, and it was just ready to go. And the more that I voiced him over the course of that session, and the more I learned about him and who he was, and all the little surprises that they have in store. Like, there's stuff about him that I know just in his mentality and why he's a part of Salem's crew that we still haven't found out yet. So, and I can't talk about it.
No. And we wouldn't dare ask.
No. But, like, just here. Knowing those little things really helped not only with just his character overall, but also with figuring out the laugh. And I try to approach it thinking that at every moment, whenever he's fighting, or even at the thought of getting into a fight, he is just, he's like a kid that's about to open his Christmas present. Like, it's just that super excited, like, oh, I can't wait, type of giggle. And every time he throws a freaking punch, like, even if he's getting hit, he's just having the time of his life. And we would put those laughs into every hit and every punch he delivers, every punch he takes. He's still having a blast.
Yeah. And talking about, like, learning more and more about the character as you're working with Rooster Teeth, Malachroma on Twitter also wanted to know, what was your reaction the first time you actually get to see the animation put together for Tyrion in his fight scenes?
I think I laughed about as much as I did recording it. just getting to watch him. I remembered how amazing from the little bits and pieces of Ruby I had seen over the years, seeing some of the fight scenes like that Monty Ohm, mm-hmm. when he was animating it, like just the stuff that he would come up with. I was always floored by him, so I knew they were going to be intense and awesome, but then I never expected half the stuff that he did, like when he spins around on the shield.
Yes,
yeah. He spins around the shield and then kicks it. I remember, like, I just started applauding and was giggling like a kid in the candy store, and was just freaking out. I was having a fanboy moment, too, like, every time that he was on screen, and especially when he was fighting.
Yeah, for sure. And we were doing the exact same, I'm pretty sure. Yes.
Okay. Oh, go ahead. Some of the folks in our chat wanted to know, when did you find out that your character was a Scorpion Faunus?
When I was recording him.
Nice.
Yeah, it was in the script already. They talked about the reveal, and I'd been sitting on that since, I think, September. I think that's when I recorded it.
Oh, goodness.
August or September. And so I've just been waiting for months. And then they didn't air an episode over Thanksgiving, and they didn't air an episode
a couple of times
in December. And, like, it's just like, get to the episode!
Speaking of which, did they very much make that a part of the character's description in terms of forming this voice? Did they tell you, like, he's a very insecty sort of character? And with the way he stands, does that affect the way you stand in the booth?
Yes, actually. Like, I was always kind of hunched over, kind of wringing my hands together.
Got it.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, like, pretty much, like, they said he was very slimy. Like, he's, and, I'm not sure if the word insecty or if insect was ever necessarily a direction that they gave, but they did push me to basically, they just said up the creep factor, make him slimy.
Yeah,
and,
I like it. It's a great adjective.
It's a great factor for sure.
Slimy. You mentioned Mark Hamill's Joker. I think we're all big fans at this table. Does Heath Ledger's Joker play in at all? Because I feel like you evoke him a little bit. Like to your point, you said like he's equally as excited when he's hitting versus being hit. Like he just wants to be in the mix, and I feel like that's a little bit Heath Ledger-y as well. Was that like an inspiration at all?
When he's speaking, yes. Sure. Like when he's just talking normally, I guess I do kind of throw in a bit of Heath Ledger Joker. I didn't really think about that. You can almost like in Tyrion's voice, I can almost say, whenever he's just talking normally, I can almost hear Tyrion say, "How about a magic trick?"
Yes. Yeah. It's a deeply unsettling.
It's kind of in that same vein.
100%. Right? Like, just wants to watch the world burn.
It's like, there was
100%.
A character that tried to be like the Joker that got pushed into the Venom as well, the Creeper. That even the that mm-hmm. reminds me a lot of Tyrion. Or Tyrion
like
reminds me a lot of
the evil version of the Creeper, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, Creep.
And I think another thing, like, especially like where we really see his, not only the creep factor, but his just his overall playfulness and how over the top and theatrical he is. And, you know, that scene in F6 when he's just so excited to be able to show off to these kids. Especially when he's like, "Oh, who I am matters not to you, or you, or what do you do matter to me? Like, you interest me." There's always this air of like he knows he's a badass. He knows that he's absolutely 100% sure of his power, completely cocky, and he loves to show off. I think there's not much else I can say about him.
that isn't an overt spoiler, yeah, for sure.
He's really grown on me. Like, so like he was one of the like first scenes, right? Like in the introduction of the season, and it was such a stark contrast from the rest of Ruby because he's so theatrical and so over the top. And I feel like to Ruby's credit, like the show, like everybody's really grounded and relatable and different shades of gray, and Tyrion just wasn't that. And so immediately I was like, I don't know about this Tyrion guy. And I think we've really benefited with more screen time with him. Every minute he's on screen, I think he becomes a more interesting character. I was really excited to have you here today.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear that. And again, like it's that's pretty much been the reaction that I've gotten from anybody who's reached out to me on social media. Is they're really excited about him. They're excited to see more. And of course, I'm just chomping at the bit, wanting to share the rest of what I know.
Yeah.
And I like what I want to see. There's a I don't know when they're supposed to air the next episode, but as far as this whole volume goes, I think there's only one more scene with him for this volume, and it's if you thought he was psycho before,
excellent.
Wait until you see that scene.
Excellent,
cool.
Something to look forward to.
Because speaking to what you were saying, Patrick, when it comes to new characters being introduced into Ruby, everybody's like, "Oh, I wonder what character they're based off of in literature. Who's this person? And I want to figure out everything about them. I think I can cosplay them." But the second we see Tyrion, everybody just went, "Uh oh,
what? Yeah, what? Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, just a pure pure character moment." But speaking of other characters in Ruby, and since we can't really look forward, where in the past three volumes of Ruby would you want to insert Tyrion?
To be 100% honest, I am not all that familiar with the other three volumes.
That's fine. True professional.
So I wouldn't be able to... I do hear, like, I've started to learn since I came into this. I've started to learn a little bit about the world bit by bit over the past couple months when I've had time. I like the, I recently learned about the White Fang. I've had thoughts about, like, well, maybe what, like, what are, is there some sort of connection? Has he had any sort of dealings with them or worked with them? I don't know, though. But again, I need to go back and watch the first three seasons really answer that.
Then in that case, Red Army or Blue Army?
Oh, excellent question.
God.
That's so good. That's
there
so good.
There is a correct
well,
answer.
Well, Shrek's is hilarious, and so is Caboose. But Sarge just speaks to my Texan soul.
Good man. Good man.
Yeah. Probably Red. I'd have to go Red.
Okay.
Yeah, I do respect that answer. I really, like, I also would have taken just a complete made-up, like, insertion point.
Like
the
time
when Ruby met, like, the dragon, and then they went to the moon, and they had a tea party. I feel like I would have taken that nonsense, too, as well.
Tyrion instead of Doc. How about that?
There you go.
Maybe. I don't know. Now we're crossing the streams a little bit too much.
Crossing the streams. Can't do it.
No.
But, yeah, and this is just, for me, I grew up in the desert, so seeing scorpions has like a very visceral, I have a very visceral reflex to that. Do you in particular have any scorpion encounter stories that you bring with you
yes,
into the booth?
Both when I was below the age of 10. The first time I was like 4 or 5 years old, I was laying on the floor in my mom's sewing room laying underneath a giant quilt that she had made for me before I was even born. I'm just laying in it and rolling around and playing. And at one point, I just feel this sharp pain on my foot.
No!
And I scream and, like, you know, I pull the covers off and there's this huge scorpion that just had worked its way under the covers and decided that my foot offended it. So that was my foot. And, like, I can't remember what we did. Like, we did some sort of weird thing where, like, they had to put my foot in the bath and put, like, oatmeal, like, dry oatmeal. And I was like, isn't this supposed to be what you do for, like, chicken pox or something? But apparently it works for scorpion.
We don't know.
Quick, add something else.
The second one is even worse. I was at my grandmother's house, again, laying on the floor in the living room, there was TV on, and I was just sitting there, and I was looking up at the ceiling, and I see, I can't, like, it's one of those tall vaulted ceilings, so it goes up in the middle, and I saw something dark on it, and I was like, that doesn't look right. And before I look away, it's falling, and it lands on my face.
I'm leaving.
And it was a scorpion. Thankfully, it didn't sting me. I reacted quick enough and just freaked out. But almost had a face full of scorpion tail. I'm not a fan of them.
So, again, bringing it back to Batman, you took your darkest enemy and made it your strength.
I totally agree. Look, we've been recording this this is our fourth season recording the show. Megan's face when you said you had been stung in the foot was my all-time favorite moment. She literally covered her whole face as if she was being stung in the moment.
Unbelievable. I didn't see her face, though.
Oh, my goodness. Real good.
Oh my god!
And since we're on the topic of, like, because I know enough about the world that I know that if a character is a faunist, that they only have one physical attribute of any animal, Tyrion really lucked out. Not only he's like the first ever insect faunist that we've ever seen. Not only did he luck out in getting the tail, which I think is the most awesome thing to have, he could have had just scorpion legs, which would look ridiculous, or he could have had pincers for his arms instead. But he got the tail. That's great. But it also makes me think: well, if we can have insect faunus, does that mean that we can have like a spider faunus? Are there like tarantula people walking around out there? How creepy would that be?
There's just a person with a regular human body and just a tarantula head.
just a tarantula head.
I'm Bob.
Eight eyes, Bob like a regular face, but eight eyes.
But eight.
Jeff not the Jeff Goldblum version of the fly, but the like 1950s version of the fly, where it's just a guy with a fly head.
It's like one of those like
oh my god.
And the chat is correcting all of us, saying not insect faunas.
They're arachnids.
Got it.
It's easier to say insect.
Faunas. Okay, there we go. Yeah. Arachnid faunas.
Whatever. They're gross, guys. They're like, it's all the same.
Yeah, same
all you need to know about it.
File under gross. Yes.
Now, it seems to be implied with the last stroke that we kind of see of Tyrion's attack being the sting to Crow, his eyes change color to purple, which I don't know if I've just been playing a lot of Pokemon, but that seems to me to indicate poison.
Purple means poison.
Purple means poison.
That's just known.
Absolutely.
Do you and this is kind of for anybody, do you think the poison is what led Tyrion to kind of be a little bit more loopy?
Potentially, yeah, probably. Like, he's got this. But, I mean, you know, if he was born with it, then obviously he would be used to it. It's not, it wouldn't be anything that would be working against him.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like,
it happens
that would be
in puberty.
Like being allergic to your, that would be like being allergic to the water in your body.
Sure.
But it would like, also, like, I mean, it could theoretically cause, like, some sort of chemical imbalance in his brain to make him
true.
Extra sort of loopy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could see that.
Well, it's just always been there.
Yeah.
He's got those. I think he definitely has those scorpion instincts. It's, you know, sting first, ask questions later.
I like it. Yeah. So did your eyes turn purple when your foot was in the oatmeal?
I'm wondering about the purple eyes.
Yeah.
Like, does that mean, like, because, like, they're yellow normally, so when they turn purple, does that mean that, like, I don't even know about this, like, that if they turn purple, does that mean, like,
poison
is that
mode.
Him, like, switching over to poison mode, or is that, like, is he using some sort of ability, like some sort of arachnid or insect sense that allows him to see something that he normally wouldn't?
A scorpion
like
sense.
Like auras or powers or something.
I like staying away from the copyrighted Marvel stuff. I like it.
That's why it's scorpion sense.
Right.
I like it. Yeah, arachnid sense.
Completely different.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, we have a lot of people also wondering, what do you think is the most challenging part of voicing a character like this? I mean, I imagine that a lot of it is just sort of the highs and the lows that he goes through, but, like, I imagine that's very grating on the voice.
It's hard on the voice, yeah, and it can be kind of exhausting in the booth when you, because we'll normally do, like, three or four takes of each line, and when we were doing all of the fight reacts, you know, it was, all right, give us three regular punches. Okay, now give us three regular, like, give us three light punches, but happy about getting hit. Okay, now give us three light punches, but angry about being hit. And, like, it is just over and over and over, like, just constantly going up and down, like, this roller coaster of emotion with him. And it, that's kind of how every line is with him, too. Like, I would always try to figure out a way of, like, depending on the scene or depending on, like, what's going on or what he's saying, can I give a delivery of the line that's A, psychotic and happy, or moody, or sad, or and like, they all work in their own way just because he's such a dynamic character, and because he's so back and forth on his emotions and his mental state. And it was kind of challenging, but it was insanely fun creatively. But for the most part, that all aside, it actually, he's one of the easier characters that I've ever done, and mostly just because he doesn't have flaps that I have to match. Like,
That's true.
He wasn't animated already, like I have to work with anime, or with like JRPG video games. I could really take my time with it, find my own pacing, speed up randomly in the middle of a line or slow down, and like just really kind of play with the nuances instead of having to start at this time and end at this time.
Sure.
So he was, in a sense, he was insanely liberating.
You got to be one of the more fun characters you've ever played, right? Like that's got to be such a blast.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And actually, since you brought that up, can you speak to that? Because you are also the voice of Yuri Katsuki, who's a cast member of arguably one of the most trailblazing popular shows to come out this past season. So
it's insane how popular it became. Like, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it really did.
No one expected it.
And it was just like, I remember seeing the initial clip, like just the trailer
the preview,
before the season started for it. and thinking, God, that's a gorgeous looking show. And, yeah. And people, and of course, all the jokes flying around online immediately, like, Yuri on Ice, does it mean it's going to be ladies on ice? And it ended up being the complete opposite. but, like, what I think is so awesome about that show is the fact that it's not at all, and I've heard this term thrown back and forth over the past couple of months online, it's not queer bait.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it's, yeah, there's nothing gimmicky or fetishized,
sure,
about,
sure,
he and Victor's relationship. What is so powerful about it is the fact that their relationship was allowed to evolve the same way that straight relationships are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, there was nothing forced about it. There was nothing, like, overly sexualized or anything. It was just very real. And I think part of why it's so powerful.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful show. How do you compare the fan base, the Rooster Teeth fan base, to the Yuri on Ice fan base?
Just as crazy, but in a completely different way. Right, I love it. And again, just the amazing outpouring of love for that show, mm-hmm, and the messages that me and the rest of the cast and the crew for Yuri have gotten as each episode has come out week by week. It's just gotten more and more supportive, more and more, everyone is brought into it. And like most people, you know, they'll watch the sub first and they'll have like 3 weeks before the English version goes up. And I've had so many people just tell me how much they enjoy both versions, yeah, equally, and which is kind of unheard of for people like that. You usually fall in love with a subbed version first, to also appreciate the dub, and that by itself has been an incredible gift. But to just also see how much that show speaks to people in the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm, that have reached out to me as well, like, just. And again, for many of the reasons that I stated just a second ago, but also just because it's so cool to see a show like that where it wasn't fetishized, that it's not made to look like this is something weird or bizarre or anything like that. It's, yeah, just, these are just two people.
It just is.
And that are experiencing love, and that love is not only changing them it's changing them for the better,
mm-hmm, sure,
and they're growing because of this, and they're being inspired because of it. And I think it's one of the best show. It's one of the best anime that I've worked on since Princess Jellyfish, aww, and for many of the same reasons.
Princess, aww, what? And taking me back, Princess Jellyfish. The last sort of thing that'll ask to kind of bring us back to Ruby is: have you seen the fan art of Tyrion?
Yes!
Dressed as in Yuri's free program outfit.
Yes, I actually requested that specifically.
God bless America.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, that was I put it out there on Twitter, and I said, okay, I need this right now. I want him to be killing people with his skates and just looking fabulous. And within an hour, I had something. It was insane.
Pivoting on that scorpion tail.
Yeah,
dude. How many tricks you could do.
Cheater. I know. What's up,
cheater?
It'd be amazing.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Speaking of Yuri on Ice, do you have any other upcoming projects that you can talk about? I know with voice actors, a lot of times, mm-hmm, you know, NDAs, you guys have your hands tied, but if there's anything you can talk about that you'd like fans to know about, feel free to go ahead and share.
Well, with especially the way that Funimation is handling anime these days with the simul-dub schedule, like, pretty much everybody knows what I'm working on at the moment that I can announce it.
Sure.
Like, the moment that a cast announcement is made, that's when I can say. So until that happens, there really is nothing. But other than Yuri on Ice, also this season, shows that I've been working on, I'm Drifters, which is, if you haven't seen any of it, it's
awesome.
The latest from the creator of Helsing.
And dude, it's bloody.
Yeah, it's crazy good. I love this show. And again, the character I play, Toyohisa Shimatsu, and he's also kind of a departure from the characters that I normally get to play. He's all testosterone, all honor, and he loves, very much like Tyrion's got a bloodlust, and he loves chopping people's heads off. And it's like the show itself is just, it's all these characters throughout history, throughout world history, like Oda Nobunaga, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Joan of Arc,
that is
the moment of their death, were pulled from our world and thrown into this fantasy world with elves and dwarves, to fight, other people from our world, throughout history. And it's just an insanely fun, over, like, just action-packed ride. A lot of, since it's creator of Helsing, there's a lot of similarities. There's, you know, three factions, the Drifters being one of them, and a lot of war, a lot of world history stuff thrown in there. It's a super fun ride. Highly recommend it. And other than that, not a whole hell of a lot. Also, Re-Life, we were doing an English dub for that, and that was a show that aired a few years back, and that's been really fun too. It's what's funny about that one too is in Yuri on Ice, I play this dark haired character that is kind of unsure of himself and is really trying to work through life, and Micah Solasad plays Yuri Plasetsky, this blonde Russian punk who's constantly making my life hell. And then in Real Life, Micah plays a dark-haired, kind of down-in-his-luck character who's not sure of himself and really trying to work through some crap, and I'm playing the blonde character that's making his life hell. That's been a fun switch.
Oh, that's exciting.
Do we get on time?
Probably like final questions because we have to talk about the rest of the
episode. I've got a very quick question. I'm just curious. I know you do, you've done a lot of JRPGs, and I know that right now there's a big voice actor strike related to certain devs and publishers. I was just wondering if you can kind of weigh in. I don't know if you're familiar with kind of the terms or where are you with this. Really interesting.
Because in Texas there is no union, like there is a union, but it's like most people aren't a part of it because Texas is a right to work state.
Sure.
It actually hurts us as actors to be a part of the union, or any sort of union. So like I know nothing about unions, never been a part of one. But I do have many, many close friends out in LA that, you know, that are part of SAG and, have been a part of this. And, while I'm not as up on the, like I'm not as, updated on the issues as I'd like to be.
Sure.
I will say that I do completely 100% support them in the fact that at the very least, they need to have better hours. They need to, there needs to be better care put in place to make sure that their voices are not destroyed, because I mean that's how they make their living. That is literally their money makers.
Yeah.
And so many times, especially with video games, you're thrown into the booth and recording for anywhere from 4 to 6 hours at a time, constantly screaming stuff, constantly having to do fight reactions and Foley, and it just incredibly taxing, very tiring work. And with really, like, if something happens to you and where you can't work as a result of that, you're kind of SOL. Like, there's really nothing you can do. And if you really hurt your voice to the point where it is unusable, that puts your livelihood at stake.
For sure.
So at the very least, there needs to be better, there needs to be something put in place to keep them from being overworked.
Sounds like they're making progress too.
Hashtag performance matters, guys. Yep. Take a look at that.
Performance matters 100%.
Great.
Anyway, again, thank you, Josh, so much for joining us tonight. Where can people go if they want to keep
Thanks
up
for having
with you
me.
Of course. Where can people go if they want to find you and keep up with your projects online?
I'm usually on Twitter, just at Josh Greeley, JOSHGRELLE. You can also find me on Facebook. There's a fan club. You feel free to join that. Just Josh Greeley fan club. And that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, thank
and,
you.
And I'll be going to several conventions next year already. They're lining up, especially with Yuri on Ice and Ruby. So, feel free to go. I've already announced several of them, so check them out and see if I'll be in your area sometime soon. I'd love to meet you guys.
Oh, yeah, no, anytime you're out in L.A., you are more than welcome to come down.
And if not, we'll see you at RTX.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, and I
yeah, sounds like a plan to me.
I am personally.
And you guys have a safe and happy new year.
You too. Thanks again. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Have a wonderful night. Oh, what a cool guy.
Yeah.
Not to mention, he's all right. I am.
He's okay. He's, you know.
I'm also super looking forward to 2017, where we get Attack on Titan back. I'm very happy for all that. Anywho, neither here nor there. We have to talk about this episode.
We do.
There's so much.
Yes.
Okay. Quick, round the table. Thoughts on Papa Schnee, starting with you, Patrick.
I can't believe he called her a bitch.
I know.
I can't. He just literally just broke that word out in the middle of an episode. Anyway.
I was expecting a way more low current kind of, kind of keeping consistent with the, but I'm really the good guy
kind
of feel and just
gone. Yep, threw me for a loop.
I was going to say, wasn't it Tyrion that broke up the bitch? I thought that Papa Schnee just said,
I don't give a damn. That is correct.
He slapped her.
That's what it was.
It's still characters liberally throwing out curse words in what just not that long ago was a kid's show.
Yeah.
And he did slap her. was monstrous.
That scene was very telling. I knew everybody had a feeling about Whitley.
I know Whitley proved me wrong.
I tried
to give him the benefit.
I was
running
delete too. I know we were a little pro Whitley.
Delete the picture of him playing Parcheesi. He doesn't deserve to have fun or happiness.
I mean, no, we want to keep Malachroma's work, but now just draw something of him being a jerk.
Just give him angry eyebrows.
Yes,
just give him angry eyebrows.
Hitler stash.
That's it.
Yeah, just done.
Change it to wrist.
I appreciate the payoff because there were a lot of cues basically signaling this guy is not somebody to be trusted, and here we see that payoff. And I kind of feel like Jacques, like, very much like putting all of his like future stock investments into Whitley is total overcompensation for him taking like the Schnee name. Yep. Like it's his way of asserting dominance over a family that he married into, and like is now like he's taking on their legacy as opposed to his own.
Becca Lai in the chat says he is Azula. Speaking of which, Patrick, have you seen Avatar yet?
How did you feel about that?
Check out Avatar. Just watch Avatar: The Last Airbender.
I know.
But does anybody? What does everybody think that Weiss was doing in pushing her furniture out of the way?
I think practicing a summons and or getting ready to create a glyph so that she could get the hell out of Dodge.
Yep.
I assumed at first she was going through that window.
I do too.
And then she's like clearing the bedroom furniture. And I'm like, wait.
We've seen these characters jump from like huge distances before. I feel like jumping out the window is not going to hurt her in the slightest.
Low on the ladder of danger of what she's been through, you know?
She's been smacked in the face by a robot before. I feel like jumping out the window is just like step one.
I thought the ships flying by implied I'm gonna hop on one of them.
I'm gonna go straight to Ironwood.
She might be just trying to contact Ironwood
or her sister.
Yeah.
Because you know her father has clearly drawn a line in the sand. Like you're either with Winter or you're with me.
Yeah.
And Ironwood did promise her, like, hey, you always have a home. You know, at our academy for sure. And I hope that's where she goes.
She's preparing her landing strategy.
That's exactly it.
Thank you, Becca.
I'm all about that. Any other thoughts on like what's going on with the Schnees right now? Because I loved that big of backstory that we got with the World of Remnant, and I like where this scene is sort of setting up where Weiss is going to be going.
Mm-hmm. I just want to see mom.
Yeah.
Do you think she's going to come back in a strong way? Like, she's going to be like, she'd put her foot down and be like, are you kidding me? Does she come back? Like, does she end up being like this really triumphant? Like,
I don't think until maybe next season or after.
Yeah, I think we've got a while, but I can hope so.
Well, right? Like, just kicks in the door, like, what? Slap my dog?
Shut up, idiot.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think she's too drunk.
Shows
guys.
It, makes it rain.
Yeah.
I think she's too drunk, guys. We still got so much to talk about this episode.
We spent a lot of time
with
Josh.
We'll touch on some other stuff next time.
Yeah. Yes. We didn't really get too much story stuff with Oscar and Oz. Nope. It was just like, hey, this is a thing. Yep. And nice, they're slowly melding. Yeah. Melding. Like, that's it.
I liked it.
And then apparently the same thing happened to Ozpin. Like, that's, again,
Man with two souls.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Any other final thoughts before we meander on out of the studio?
I hope we get two solid episodes these next 2 weeks.
Me too.
I hope so too. Yep. That would be the best. All right. Well, again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Patrick, where can people go if they want to find you?
Find me on Twitter at P to the D's. That's D-E-E-S.
Stacey. You can find me on Twitter at Stacey Shuttles.
Mark.
You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donicky. You can also watch Stacey and I on the Yuri on Ice after show, which we recorded just before this. We record on Mondays. That's why we had to get it in with Josh. And also the Patrick, Stacey, and myself doing VGMA, Video Game Movie Anatomy, on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talked about Assassin's Creed last week. Watch it. Watch the movie. For the love of God, support that movie.
I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say. I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. You can also follow me on Instagram. I think I already mentioned that. Follow Katie at Kiaje on Twitter and Instagram as well. Again, go to iTunes if you haven't already done so. Leave a comment, and we will give you a shout-out on the show. We ran out of time this week, but yes, we will give you a shout out on the show. Again, thank you guys so much for tuning in.
Share us with your friends.
Josh.
Thank you.
Have a great night. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Just you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.